Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check out prices fared in the resumption of trading. We give the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City on this Friday morning, May wheat opened at 584, unchanged on the open July, 590 down 1. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 531.5, up 2.25 on the open. July 542 up 1.25, September 569.5 up 1.75 on the open. May corn open at 382 up 1 on the open. July 390.5 up 0.5. September $4.75 up 1. December 412.5 up 1. March of 2010 428 up 4.5 on the open. May soybeans open at 10.39, up 1.25 on the open. July, 10.32 unchanged. November, 9.28 up 4.5 on the open. May soybean meal open at 3.26, up 1.10 on the open. July, 3.19 up 1.20. May soybean oil open at 36.45, up 25 on the open. July, 36.78 up 28. April live cattle open at 87.65, down 10 on the open. April feeders 99.75, up 20. May lean hogs 70.10, up 55. And May pork bellies 82.30, up 5 on the open. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Want to spend some time today with the U.S. dollar, I think. And the reason I want to do that is it looks to me like the Fed came in yesterday and supported it again.
Well, they came in and supported the bond market.
The bond market.
Yeah, and that has some repercussions, I think, psychologically and into the trade sentiment. Up until yesterday, the dollar was breaking higher and testing its 50-day moving average and looked like it was getting ready to take another leg up in the June index and in the spot for that matter. But then when the bonds broke down to around the 124.5 level in the 30-year, we got the 10-year back up to around a 3% yield. And with that, the Fed came in and bought about $7 billion worth of 2 to 3 year maturity notes. That sent the bonds back up, and that sent the dollar turning lower sharply. That trend has corrected, continued here again today with the dollar down about another 800 points or 80 cents, however you want to say it. Now we're below 85 in the June index, and I think what's happening here is the sentiment by the trade is that if the Fed comes in and supports the bond market in order to keep interest rates low so that their stimulus plans can work, that is not dollar-friendly fundamentally, and so far that's been exactly what's been happening.
And in a way, you might make the correlation then the Fed really wants to keep the dollar low against what would be a trend higher as we probably, with all this printing of the money, move toward an inflationary phase.
Well, that's very possible, Dave. I think that's what goes counter to economic theory. Usually in the short term, usually interest rates and the dollar move together. So if interest rates are going up, then the dollar should be going up. And today, the June bond has broken through or tested yesterday's lows and is back down almost another full point with the dollar weaker again. You would think the dollar would be stronger on that type of mindset, and that's why I think this is more of a sentiment issue and a psychological issue, and I think your point's well taken. And, you know, it's welcome from a standpoint in the short term that I think we were a little bit fearful here with all these bean purchases by China that China would be coming in here in the not-too-distant future and trying to throw some cancellations out onto the market to try and work prices down, especially if the dollar went higher against the Brazilian real. And so this weaker dollar is maybe actually beneficial to keeping China in our ports a lot longer than maybe we would have expected. And so that's one benefit here in the short term. But in the medium term, it's something that we really have to watch out for because, you know, you can say it's great for inflation, it's great for commodities to have inflation, but under the situation and circumstances we are right now trying to work out of this deep, deep recession, you really want these stimulus plans to work that the government's put in place, both monetary and fiscal.
So the question then becomes, how much longer do you think the Fed will continue to play with the bond rates and that thus impacts the dollar before they say we're far enough along and now we got to be concerned about inflationary phases?
The only thing we have to go by is recent testimony by both the chairman Bernanke and also other key voting members. And when they spoke last week and early this week, they both gave the assumption or the presumption to me, and what I read into it was that they want to keep the weak interest rates, low interest rate environment around for quite some time. Treasury Secretary Geithner was in an op-ed in the Financial Times this morning. He talked about how the other world governments and leaders need to ante up and keep spending money and stimulating their economies, even though we're starting to see some signs of the recession not being as deep and not falling off a cliff, so to speak. I think that there, too, suggests that they would want to keep the interest rates low to allow the monetary and fiscal policies to continue to work or have the chance to continue to work.
Does that then put a floor under the corn and soybean market into the third and fourth quarters?
It could in the short term. I don't know if I'd go all the way out into the third or fourth quarter. I think you kind of set that dollar issue off on a side table, and then you start looking at the fact that the last 2.5 weeks now, the elements of trade and the drivers of trade in grains and meats have been more of their own micro fundamentals, less of the outside market bias and those outside market fundamentals. And so I'm still in the camp that we're still able to trade with, generally speaking, a loss of the safe haven assets where the trade's not as fearful in the outside markets, that the trade is now in grains and meats trading back to their own fundamentals more.
So then let's look at that and begin to try to figure out why it is that the trade is not trading the weather as strong in corn as you might think they would.
Well, it's a good point. I think the debate rages on up in Chicago of how much rain we're going to get in the central corn belt and how much progress was made this past week in the western corn belt. Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, all talked about heavily in Chicago this week and kind of countermands or counter offense on the wet weather potential here in the central part of the Corn Belt. I suspect another thing that's going on is wheat has been supportive. We're up on the week about 6 cents coming in this morning in July wheat. It's been supportive because the Minneapolis wheat has led it higher because of spring wheat planting delays. But the wheat hasn't really kicked into a real high gear. And there again, without the beans leading the corn higher, I think the corn still needs the wheat or the beans, one of the two, to keep it moving. Now, that having been said, I really think corn needs to take over as the driver next week. We've got weather. We've got the wheat being supportive. We've got this weaker dollar. We had great export sales this week. And we've got to get this corn to move on its own and become more of a supportive leader to the other complexes, especially next week. So this week's close is really, really crucial. We were able to take out the 10-day and 50-day moving averages in this week yesterday. The last thing we would want to see is a retest of this week's lows around that 390 area. I think that would be where we would throw in the towel, given all these great fundamentals. If we close back below 390 and make new weekly lows, we'd have to give up and say, This corn has turned over, and it's turning over because it's being led back lower by the beans or being led back the lack of support in wheat or whatever, but it just can't get anything moving.
Then do you like a move above the 10-day moving average, which at the moment looks like it to be 398 and three quarters, a good opportunity to test the highs that we've seen in April?
In the July contract, you mean?
In the July contract.
Yeah, you know, $3.98.5 to $4. $4 would tickle me in the July contract. $4.05, I think, would outright be bullish break higher. And you can kind of look at the beans in a similar fashion. It has run into a world of resistance when it comes to the 940 level in November futures. It does not have the July pulling it up anymore, and that equates in the beans that there's maybe some problems with the near-term demand, that the bull spread is the best gauge of demand, especially when you have a weaker dollar. Maybe the trade is thinking the demand high is in at this point if that spread keeps weakening. So the key here is that the November can close above 940. That's a real important technical threshold as well that would say be very, very careful about hedging any more beans here in the new crop.
If you saw that close above 940, what do the technical charts say upside might look like?
You're heading back towards that 965 to 970 level that has stopped us dead in our tracks and has become not only a flat resistance, but that's the old support line, the old trend line support line that has now been tested all week this week for highs. And so you're really dealing with a very key number there in that 965 to 975 level. And if you can get above that, Dave, then you really don't have a lot of resistance above $10. I'm not promoting that. I'm speaking strictly technicals here. We're continuing on the mindset of catch-up hedges at 950. We've got more hedges in place at the 970 to 975 level, all on the premise that we have a lot of bullishness already factored into the front end. We're going to hedge the back end, and we're going to defend that hedge with July options and July verticals. We're going to sell the new crop and buy back in the old crop because that's where the demand is, not in the new crop.
How much of the wheel does China have on the 960 mindset?
I think a huge amount, because we had a Commerce Ministry official come out today and say, hey, we've got a big increase in imports coming here in April, in the early part of May, from the April purchases of soybeans, from rapeseed, from oil seeds in general, from soy oil, from Malaysian palm oil. This could really hit our domestic prices come May. And you don't know right now whether that is just him trying to talk down the bean market to try more, to buy more beans later next week or the week after that, or whether they're really trying to telegraph that they are sufficient in their supplies right now. And again, the best gauge of that is your July NOV bean spread. If it's not just technically correcting overbought stochastics, and we'll know that very soon here in the next few days, and we continue to go lower, even if it's oversold, then I think you have to assume that the demand high is in for right now.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.